RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark Delight Podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans. That's me.
That's you.
It's a day. It's a day of days. It's a Wednesday.
What's cooking? Is anything making this Wednesday better than most others?
Well, I mean, it's Wednesday, but other than that, there's a lot of things cooking. There are things percolating all over town.
There's a lot going on my feed right now. I don't even know what to concentrate on.
You know, I was just having a conversation. I said, what do we even focus on today? What do we even focus on today? Let's start off the show talking about something that will get everybody's antenna perked up and tingling. Influence operations. Particularly social media influence operations.
What are those?
Those are things that people do. Bad actors, wherever they are, or actors in general, to seed doubt or a narrative into the public consciousness via social media, or to set up a future happening so that there is a kind of track record before it happens so that the reporting on it can be steered in a certain way.
Oh, you mean like everybody from Stacey Abrams to Hillary Clinton talking about how Election Day is actually going to be election year?
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to take weeks and months and months and weeks.
Yeah, so that this is all going to roll in together. So I've been getting a good friend of the show sent a few messages, and I actually got others as well, but I kind of like pushed them off to the side just because, you know, some it could be, it could not be. You never really know. But when our good friend of the show, who I will not name, sent me some messages yesterday, I said, all right, I've got to say something about this now, because basically what it is a bunch of people sending me DMs of other random accounts that just started up in July and June and whatever, who have now probably a few thousand followers because they've done the Trump train follow backs and all that nonsense, right? All they are talking about is the riots. Now, that's understandable. That's all that's been going on over the past 6 months, right?
Right.
But the problem is when they're sliding into DMs with people and saying, hey, a bunch of my buddies and me are all ready to go down here with guns. We've got to confront these guys. You know, what do you think we should do?
Oh, God.
You hear where I'm going?
Oh, well, yeah. It's what I said. When that guy got shot, when the Patriots Prayer guy got shot in Portland, said, I just hope that the word goes out far and wide. No vengeance. This is an operation. That is legitimate murder right there. And they're trying to get legitimate murder in return, because that's what the media is waiting for. They're waiting to frame that.
And if we don't do it, they've got this dude they can fall back on to do it, who's likely and may not be, or maybe, you know, you don't know for sure, is likely a real person that is either legitimately saying this or is baiting people into a trap or is actually from the other side and will go out and do something under the guise of a Trump supporter. And then will, you know, the social media will be discovered and all of the DMs and all of the messages and all of the retweets and all of the tweets and all of the followers will be under the gun as radicals who are going out and, you know what I'm saying?
Well, the fun thing is that this is the same methodology that the FBI employed to bait, I don't know how many people into agreeing to commit acts of terror. Mm-hmm. Going on, and they radicalize people and people who are vulnerable and susceptible. So they bring them on up. They say, we can give you the materials. They give them dummy materials. They make the arrest and they tell the country, look, we found another radical. Keep our budgets flowing. And now they're just turning it in on us. You know, it used to be to keep the wars in the Middle East going and to keep Homeland Security growing and growing. And now it's just all about winning domestic elections. It's pretty incredible.
It is. And, you know, the thing about it is this, you know, everybody out there can be very vigilant about this. And this is why whenever anybody attacks me about coming, you know, you don't follow anyone back and you're not doing this. And I say I keep my Twitter feed very lean for several reasons. One of them, the one we just spoke about. Number two, the number of followers for some reason lends credibility to a person, right? So if these people are jumping on these follow back trains so that all of these people can have a lot of followers and feel like they're, you know, they're substantial because they've got all these people following them, then it's lending credibility to the things that these people say and more people see them. Now, there's no way for you to really know who's real and who's not. And the thing is, it's not always AI. It's not always artificial intelligence running these accounts. There's also
glowies.
What?
Glowies.
Glowies? What does that mean?
Glowies.
What does that mean?
You don't know what glowies are?
No.
Well, those are intelligence operators.
Oh. Well, there you go.
Because they glow in the dark. They're so obvious.
Ah, yes, they are. They are really obvious. So I'm just letting everybody know out there that there's that going on. And McChrystal's got DARPA-funded technology going on to counter influencers on the right who are sharing information about what's going on in the world and with President Trump and telling the truth with disinformation bots underneath. So if you start seeing a bunch of your favorite Twitter follows saying things, and underneath there's like 50 or 60 people calling them shill or saying that they're bad people or, you know, saying, oh, well, you did this 3 years ago or you were wrong about this so many times and never giving examples. Or if they've got like number, I shared a really great article the other day to try to identify these accounts that I'll share in the description box or the show notes to kind of give you a heads up if they've got a bunch of numbers in their account, if they have no profile picture. Now, there are a lot of people that just started up Twitter that have brand new accounts that don't have profile pic. Yes, 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 yes. I'm not saying all of these accounts are influence accounts or whatever. I'm just saying there is they're trying to make you distrust the people that you have come to know, love, and trust. And what always happens, Frank, is some random person will pop up out of nowhere, right? And I've been trying so ever so carefully to hint this to people for a long time, but I just came out and said it the other day because I'm done. I don't want to tell anybody who to follow and who not to follow. You guys are smart people who make your own decisions. And I, you know, you don't always know all the time. But there are these accounts that pop up overnight that say they have all this insider information and they're going to share it. And then all of a sudden they have like 50 or 60 or 80 or 100,000 followers overnight. And they target people that you have known that are real people for years. And they start to try to chip away at their credibility. And the craziest thing happens, Frank. The people that have no idea who this anonymous account with 100,000 random followers is believe that account over the people they've known for years. Very strange.
Oh, it is. It is. And, you know, I'm looking over here because this exactly what you've been saying has been happening to me in the last couple of hours alone.
Really?
Now, I retweeted. And I called them all. You know, I called a few of them out, and then I said, I deleted some tweets. I said, this is pointless because, A, they're either not real people, or, B, it's just – it's so pathetic because they're still running the 2016 script. Now, I tweeted out that NationalPulse.com yep. coverage of the Axios thing yep. that pretty much talking about the Democrats, they admit – that there's going to be a Trump landslide coming, and then they'll flip it in a couple of weeks when the mail-in votes start emerging in the quantities that they require. So, you know, some people...
There's a counter to that, by the way.
Okay, well, I can't wait. Well, there's some people who said... when I tweeted that out, somebody had said something along the lines of, well, we have faith, and there's going to be a way around it. Don't worry, and it's in God's hands or something like that. You're just being optimistic and they're just, you know, whatever, keeping faith in something. Well, that alone right there got I was getting notifications over the next six or seven hours after that of people with who have like less than 20 followers around there that have been around only since this summer and are all running the same script. Oh, what? God is on the side of someone who said that they like to grope pussies and that they made fun of the disabled. They're all saying make fun of disabled, that they're grooming women, and that one of them even said had sex with underage girls. And it's the same script. They're all running the same script. It's slightly it's worded differently. I'm like, wow, man.
Yep.
The glowies are out in force right now, and they're not even updating the script for 2020.
No, they're using the same. It went in very quickly, and it's happening all over the place. It is so important that everybody out there listening to this is keen and aware that you are probably being the subject of an influence campaign literally every 5 minutes. Every tweet that you see that is like, you know, we used to call it fear porn, right? That's what you're looking at here. And just as an example of all of this, just yesterday, everyone on Facebook, I'm surprised everybody's missing the real reason for this, but everybody on Facebook got this message that said this. Effective October 1st, 2020, Section 3.2 of our Terms of Service will be updated to include, quote, we can also remove or restrict access to your content, services, or information if we determine that doing so is reasonably necessary to avoid or mitigate adverse legal or regulatory impacts to Facebook. Now, everybody is saying, oh my gosh, look, they're going to censor. And I'm saying, guys, read between the lines here. Read between the lines. This change is because likely the FCC and the DOJ are closing in on 230 accountability. And rather than act as a platform the way they say they were, right, and allow everybody the freedom to speak equally,
right,
they are now deciding that either one, Section 230 is going to be revoked from them immediately and they won't have that protection anymore, or they are choosing not to accept the protection of Section 230 so that they can allow the censorship to continue. That is what this is. It is a 230 sledgehammer that it's on its way to social media. And if Facebook thinks that they're going to be able to police everything that somebody says that will get them sued, they're no longer going to cease to exist because nobody's going to be allowed to say anything anymore.
I wonder if this has anything to do with the latest rash of people who have been taken off of YouTube or have had their content taken off of YouTube and other platforms under the they call it impersonation. Have you heard of this?
Yes, I have. And I think that I don't know that that's the same thing, but all of these companies are retooling their terms of service right now.
Mm.
So I think that the DOJ and FCC have been working on Section 230 behind the scenes. And they are on their way to dropping the gauntlet. And these platforms are going to actually choose to instead of comply with 230, to censor the hell out of literally everyone. Now, imagine you said something nasty like, oh, my God, I want to kill that person. And you were just frustrated like people do all the time on Facebook. You're removed. Okay, what are they going to allow people to say that will not cause them liability? Like if somebody uses their platform to like libel somebody they're having an argument with anywhere, people can sue Facebook at that point.
It really just comes down to they just have to accept the fact that they are editing in one direction, even though they have to be responsible for what they're leaving up there. I just saw we have to go to or we need a race war. Somebody's inciting a race war somewhere, a blue check. And saying to myself, wow, well, who's going to be responsible for that? Why is this still left up? I don't know what the process is. I think they're largely trying to automate it. Maybe they can claim that the automation process doesn't pick certain things up. I don't know.
Well, there's a much bigger reason for this update than what everybody is saying. And I'm pretty stunned that nobody is tying this together. So there's all kinds of craziness going on. Let's talk about that Axios report real quick. It's pretty interesting. It says exclusive. Dem group warns of apparent Trump election day landslide. It says it's a group called Hawkfish. And they say this. A top Democratic data and analytics firm told Axios on HBO that it's likely that President Trump will appear to have won potentially in a landslide on election night, even if he ultimately loses when all of the votes are counted. Why this matters? Way more Democrats will vote by mail than Republicans due to fear of the coronavirus. And it will take days, if not weeks, to tally these. This means Trump, thanks to Republicans doing almost all of their voting in person, could hold big electoral college and popular vote leads on election night. Now, let's stop real quick. Propaganda in the article. Why? Because this article is written in such a way to make Republicans wary of going to the polls, thinking, well, maybe we should vote by mail. Do you understand?
Yeah, but I hope that the people don't fall for that, because that doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't, but it's written that way, and some people will. I've seen it. Imagine America with its polarization and misinformation if the vote tally swings wildly toward Joe Biden and Trump loses days later as the mail ballots are counted. That's what this group Hawkfish, which is funded by Bloomberg and also does work for the DNC and pro-Biden super PACs, is warning a very real, if not foreordained outcome. CEO Josh Mendelson says this. He calls it a red mirage. Okay. We are sounding an alarm and saying this is a very real possibility that the data is going to show on election night an incredible victory for Donald Trump. When every legitimate vote is tallied and we get to that final day, which will be someday after election day, it will in fact show that what happened on election night was exactly that, a mirage. It looked like Donald Trump was in the lead, and he fundamentally was not when all the ballots got counted. And they have a rolling GIF graphic from November 3rd through November 9th that shows that basically the entire country outside of the West Coast, New York, and Virginia red. And then that lead chipping away. They give the Electoral College victory count.
Right. They turn the entire country into Arizona, pretty much.
Yeah.
Kyrsten Sinema's race. That's the model for the entire country now.
Yes. Under one of the group's modeling scenarios, Trump could hold a projected lead of 408 to 130 electoral votes on election night. If only.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it.
I think he'll win that anyway. If only 15% of the vote by mail ballots had been counted. Now, once 75% of mail votes were counted, perhaps 4 days later, the lead could flip to Biden's favor. This particular modeling scenario portrays Biden as ultimately winning a massive victory, 334 to 204. Now, here's the thing, guys. If every single person, including people who have never voted before, which there will be many, show up to the polls on election day, they will not be able to create enough votes to swing it, because there aren't that many people living where they need them. I.e., yes, it'll take a few days to get there, but if 130% of the population has voted, we've got a problem.
But there's every election year, whether it be midterm, general, or whatever the hell else, you have numerous districts in places like California that show 117% voter turnout. Nothing ever so what happens?
Never before has anyone given a crap the way they do now in either direction. There will be so much focus on this that they will not be able to take that district and do what they normally do and float under the radar. Because do you think for 1 second that President Trump doesn't have a team of 700 people ready to challenge every single district where 150% of the population voted? It's not going to work. I'm telling you, it's not going to work. I'm just going to say, does this mean that the election's going to be decided election night or even in the week after? No, it doesn't. But it's not going to work. Everyone needs to get out in person at the polls, figure out where they are, get there, take the day off of work, and vote.
Yeah, I like I said, when we were first starting to chip through this, What they're really just setting up is no matter what, no matter what, this right here is going to be their rallying cry for the next 4 years. Either this really ham-fisted scheme works for them, or if it doesn't work, then it's going to be their new Russia. It's going to be their new Russia, and it'll actually have a little bit better. I don't know who's going to believe them if they started out with this.
Yeah.
They didn't go to Russia.
Yeah.
That actually probably would have been a lot more. They're probably kicking themselves that this wasn't the scheme that they went with in 2016 as a failsafe, because the Russia thing was so bad. But to claim disenfranchisement on the heels of a virus just to make sure that they get their woman in there for 8 years, that's they're probably kicking themselves right now because this ain't going to work now.
No, it's not going to work now. And it's clearly not going to work now. And I've got something for you that, you know, you ready?
Yeah.
I'm just going to surprise you.
In terms of what we can expect from the Russians or what the Russians are doing, the Russians 4 years ago, Dana, exploited Black Lives Matter. They set up their own false flag. online to try to divide people along racial lines.
Are they doing it now?
And we have to, they are once again doing their best in social media, in their overt media, and other means to grow these divisions again. And I think that most pernicious, we have to worry about their aggravating these tensions in our cities.
What was this false flag? What was this Black Lives Matter false flag he's talking about?
I have no idea.
He's such a bastard. He's just saying things, hoping that there's still stupid enough people out there that'll go, no, he's right. He's right. I remember that. You don't remember anything. It didn't happen.
So they are blaming the Russians for Black Lives Matter.
Jeez.
Yesterday, I had someone say that Black Lives Matter was not a hate group.
Right.
And
it's actually much more than that. I'm actually doing a little bit more on this tonight, actually.
Talk about it. Go for it. Go.
Oh, you got it. No, I have to send it to you. You have to watch it yourself. It is. Let me get it on up here. Where we have it. Here we have it.
All right, now I want to get
his name's Abraham Hamilton III,
host of the
It's 19 minutes. Oh. We can't play it on here. But the breakdown is unbelievable, and the title of the video is "Black Lives Matter is Practicing a Form of Witchcraft," and this is not just this guy Abraham Hamilton, who's I don't know. He's a man of faith. He's Christian for sure, but he does some kind of a broadcast over here in his studio, and he's taking actual – I have not even heard this interview before between the leader of Black Lives Matter, the trained Marxist. I forget her name.
Yes.
Yeah, her and somebody else there too. And they are in their own voice in this exchange talking quite literally about how this entire process is completely married to an invocation of spirit. Of the spirit world, this is so much, and it makes so much sense now why they're constantly droning into people's heads when they're screaming, "Say her so and so's name, say so and so's name, her name was so and so, his name was so and so." This is so much bigger than just the implementation of Marxism. The spiritual aspect of this, which I always knew, and we always have talked about it, was there. Especially when Rand Paul's wife even said it from her little encounter with these crazies in the streets. She said that I was looking into their eyes and there was something missing there. When I knew when they looked at us, they were not looking at human beings.
Wow.
And I said to myself, that is the most profound statement that anybody has said in analyzing what is going on in the streets right now. It's not enough to just say they're communists and they have been brought up that way in schools and they've been drinking the pot Kool-Aid and they have red diaper doper babies for parents. It's not enough to say that. They have been hollowed out spiritually so that something else
can take its place.
Can occupy
that's scary.
Something else can occupy. Yeah.
It's scary. No,
You have to. I'm going to send this link to you. You have to watch it. It's 19 minutes long, and it needs to be analyzed by people because this guy, Abraham Hamilton, is not just reading an article and interpreting it his own way. I have to go find this interview that he's analyzing. It's serious.
He doesn't provide the interview?
No. He plays the audio from it.
Oh, the whole thing?
He goes and he takes out highlights.
This is, gosh.
Oh yeah. No, the exchanges are there's no context missing. Trust me. Yeah, so you want to talk about Russians.
Everybody listen to Frank's show tonight.
I'm going to have to, he's providing me with the skeleton of that format I'm putting together.
Oh, you reached out to him?
No, I'm just going to jack it from him.
Oh, okay.
And I'm just going to just give him all the credit in the world and try to, you know, I'm just going to make highlights of his video and just go through it with the audience because I think it's quite stunning.
It is stunning. That's something else. Wow. Well, hey, you know, nobody doubted it was a spiritual war. That's for sure. When I wake up every morning, Frank, I am filled with so much hope and love and appreciation and my spirit is just alive with it. And I feel like I am walking the path of someone who's walking the right path. You know what I'm saying? I smile and I know it's hard and it's going to be a war, but I've got love on my side and goodness. And, you know, I know where I'm coming from, but these people, there was something that I'm so excited to say, bringing on a new staff member to Uncover DC, who is going to help me do all of most people don't understand how big of an operation we've got going on over here now. But it is growing exponentially and I just am having a really hard time keeping track of it. So when you guys are so gracious and send over like any PayPal donations or whatever, it is fueling the fire that runs this engine and it is getting very big and it is about to do something really amazing I can't talk about yet, but I can't wait till I can. Things are happening. We'll just put it that way. All because of everyone out there. Anyway, I'm bringing on someone new to help me run the day-to-day of a business that now has about 15 staff writers or writers that are contributing. All those pieces need to be picked apart, fact-checked, edited, sent to somebody to look at it again. You know what I mean? Like all of the stuff that goes up on the site. We get an article. This is not where I wanted to go, but we might as well. We get an article in. It's a fantastic opinion editorial or whatever. We need to go through and fact check the entire article to make sure that there's nothing wrong. Then we need to edit it to make sure that it's readable, right? After that, we need to position it. When is it going to go out? When does it make the most sense? What pictures go where? You know, what stories are coming up throughout the day that we have one staff writer on staff full time, Sharon Black, who writes for us news, just straight news. So I'm managing, you know, what she's writing about. I'm managing the editing process. I'm managing bringing in submissions from people who submit submissions. Are we going to publish them or not? I'm managing our 15 or so contributors who are sending stuff all the time. And Gigi helps me with a whole bunch of stuff and she edits. It's too much for me to be able to do any journalism. So
I love watching the growth of the whole thing. I hope to have an operation just like it one day.
You will. Because this is the future. And I'm not complaining by any stretch of the imagination. I am saying,
no, it sounds fun. Oh, no, this is. No, when I hear this, I know that you're not complaining because the journey itself is that's the most joy that you get out of the work.
Reinventing the media and giving some people somewhere they can go where they can trust what they read is just my life's mission. It's my life's mission. End of story. And I'm never going to stop until it happens. I want to change the entire landscape of media. And I won't stop until I do. That being said, new person coming on board. And the team is amazing. They work forever and they work really, really hard. So we have Kristen, a new person coming on board to help me with all that stuff so that I can spend 3 days reading through the FISA report and write pieces on it, right? She sent over something by a Catholic priest that said, you cannot be a Catholic if you're a Democrat. Like, you can't, I think the title of it is, I'm so sorry it took us so long to get to what I'm saying here. I'm going to tell you the title. It's a YouTube clip that might tie in very nicely to what you have today. It's, you cannot be Catholic and a Democrat, period. And I don't think that I didn't listen to the whole thing yet. It's really good. But I don't think that he means normal everyday people that call themselves Democrats. I think he means this radical shift and the spiritual reasons behind it. And one of the things he points out is how you cannot have faith or love in God and do the things or support the things that they're supporting. There is a carved out hollow in these people.
Oh, yeah.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, no, you can't have faith. You can't belong to any kind of a congregation or any kind of a belief system that believes in truth and compassion and the showing of respect and love for other people and be tied into the Democrat Party in particular but any real statist party. You can't. It is you cannot do it.
Because you're worshiping the state before you're worshiping God.
It's not even that.
Well, there's more to it than that, but I mean, it's true.
Oh, yeah. Well, the party has distanced itself from the idea of faith being a party. It's something that is old and antiquated and restrictive, and it needs to be changed in order to be acceptable. So they've gotten rid of everything that makes faith what it is and tradition what it is and why that kind of concept has contributed so nicely to civilization in the past. But the other thing there too is what does this new religion, what does this party stand for? It stands for the solidifying and growing of an authority that has no respect for a person's individuality, for their
life.
Private, for their bodies, their private choices. Unless you're talking about murder. Unless you're talking about abortion, they really don't care about what you want to do with your body, your life, your earnings, nothing. It is a completely tyrannical system. It's completely tyrannical.
So, yeah. So speaking of tyrannical, I figured that we would move into, I'm looking at a giant picture right now of General Michael Flynn, because I have the defense fund up on my screen. And there's been developments, all of which piss me the hell off. I did the radio show yesterday, Frank. I literally almost slipped like 3 or 4 times.
Well, I mean, for those who are working this situation against Michael Flynn, they definitely got the goal for 2020 accomplished, and that was make sure that this is dragged out past the election. Everything past the election, whatever.
I want everybody to take a breath. And I understand that everybody is saying that, and it's true. It's likely true this will go on past the election because the status reports are due on September 21st, and then he'll hit hearings. He'll set hearings. So they could technically be done before the election. He did give a very rapid timeline for status hearings or status reports of 3 weeks. So I'm not 100% sold on after the election myself, to be honest. He was, let's start from the beginning real quick. So the decision came down 7-2 that basically what the winning decision said, the opinion said was he did this too early. Judge Sullivan had not made a decision yet about not accepting the motion to dismiss, and that General Flynn brought the writ of mandamus too early, and we've never before ruled that a judge has to do something before he's done something counter to what he should do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That was the brunt of it. And they also said he has not shown that he's biased in any way, shape, or form, which I think is just asinine. This is why appointing judges is so damn important. Because when you've got a panel of judges like this, where two of them look at their colleagues and say, what in the ever-loving hell is wrong with you people? Which is what they did. Henderson and Rao. They wrote an opposition opinion, which was spot on, of course, because we're in the upside down. So they decided that because General Judge Sullivan hadn't ruled yet that they really can't step in, but they gave him a little warning that he should be doing the right thing. I'm going to read it to you. I didn't think to pull it up. Technofog had highlighted it as well. It says, we trust and expect the district court to proceed with appropriate dispatch. Meaning, you better do the right thing, dude, or we're going to look like idiots. What does he do yesterday? He files a motion. The parties are directed to file a joint status report with a recommendation for further proceedings by no later than September 21st. The joint status report shall propose a briefing schedule regarding the deadlines for the government and Mr. Flynn to file any surreply briefs, and the government, Mr. Flynn, and the court appointed amicus curiae to file a consolidated response to any amicus brief of non-court appointed amicus curiae. Now, that means people that have literally no bearing on the case whatsoever can walk in off the street and file a brief on the docket. What kind of nonsense is this?
I don't know. That's why I sit back and I wait for you to explain it, because all I see is the timeline, the linear, this story in a linear sense, just getting dragged and dragged and dragged. And I just feel that I don't know. I'm happy that you're getting to it.
Well, yeah, because this is never going to leave my consciousness ever, this case. This is the deal. Everybody's like, pardon, pardon. I'm like, no. No pardon. No pardon. And this is what I think. Who gives a crap what I think? But this is what I think. Let the process play out. Let this go. Let Judge Sullivan do whatever it is he thinks he's going to do. Let Jensen and Durham continue to fill up this docket with exculpatory evidence they probably would have held under their vest should this not have happened. Completely and totally embarrass the living daylights out of the DOJ under the Mueller special counsel and Crossfire Hurricane team from previous. And when all is said and done, if God forbid Donald Trump loses the election the day before he leaves office, pardon him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the only thing that was clear to me, that the election will know what's going on here. And then it's either going to the thing here is that if as long as and it's always a game of what can we fall back on as a narrative? We were talking about the election before. We were talking about if their ham-fisted ideas of how they can screw with the vote actually results in a win, then great. That's ultimately the end of a lot of their pain right there. And then, of course, if it doesn't, then they have something to complain about for the next 4 years. And if they retain any kind of power in one or two chamber, well, if they have two chambers of Congress, then we're really screwed.
We are done for. Well, we're done for as a nation. Done.
That's it. Well, because the president will be removed within a couple of months, and then that'll be it.
God, please.
And the same thing with this Michael Flynn thing here. If this guy, this Sullivan guy, was not carrying water for Barack Obama, who obviously sent out they're working together. He put the messaging out there in that
leaked
stupid.
Call.
Yeah, the leaked call. He put the messaging on out there, and this just dragged on. So if it weren't for that, Michael Flynn would have already had this far behind him, miles behind him. And now, it's going to be pushed on beyond the election, that if he's still tied up by the time that we get to the end of the year, then Donald Trump, as one of the last things in office, will have to pardon him. And then finally, they'll be able to have the narrative in place that, well, he was pardoned. It was an act of criminality till the end.
Yep.
Criminality till the end. Pardoning his criminal friends till the end. It's all set up. They're absolutely insane.
They are insane. They are absolutely insane. I have all of the faith in the world that if God is looking down on this nation and sees all the good people in it, there will be. What happened in 2016 will happen again. because there was no way that was supposed to happen. It wasn't supposed to happen. I'm sorry. He was not supposed to win. He wasn't. Whoops. And I just, first of all, I just, another Spygate happening. If you guys seriously consider giving a few bucks to MikeFlynnDefenseFund.org, because it's a travesty at this point. It really is. Ugh, makes my heart break.
It's been a travesty for a long time, but this is just,
It's unheard of. There's no words. There's no words. I don't even have words to explain what is happening here. Every time you think it can't get worse, knock on wood.
It does.
So we also had something else that came out late last night, and I fell asleep. I fell asleep last night. First of all, I wanted to tell you, Frank, doing this show with you is like the best hours of my week.
Oh, well, that's very nice of you to say. I agree. It's a lot of fun for me, too.
I love talking to you for an hour, and I love talking to everyone out there for an hour. And it's just so much fun at this point, like just to sit here for an hour and talk about all this stuff. So just want to throw that out there.
Oh, I agree.
And real quick, what are we doing in 2 weeks when you're not here? Am I doing the show myself?
I think so. I think so. Well, you can get Ned Ryan, and you can get Lee Smith. Think about all the amazing co-hosts you can bring on at this point.
I'm paying.
You know?
Can you just have Aurora co-host with me?
I know. Well, yeah. She can't talk yet. I'm sure she'll talk in a couple of months.
Gosh.
I'm sure she'll be speaking in full sentences in a couple of months.
Yeah, with you reading her like Hemingway from like her crib or whatever.
No, it's funny. Laura said, what are you going to be reading her? So now, I don't know.
Tolstoy.
I don't know. It'll be the Velveteen Rabbit the first week, and then it'll be Fitzgerald the second.
Thomas Paine. Common Sense. That's what you'll be reading. Oh, I can't wait to see this kid grow up. I am so excited. I really am.
The real struggle and the real goal is to get her to earn the adoration. And you know, because there's gonna be a little bit of her dad has a very unique kind of a job, and I think she's going to get a lot of praise just because. And she has no clue. Not many people have had their birth so publicly awaited.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody in the world is like.
So dying she's just gonna get here. Making sure that she has perspective on things, and that she's not some goddess that has been born to, you know, she's, you know, one of the that's gotta never take root.
Oh, so it won't, because you're not in that sort of an environment.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Well. Okay. You'll be fine, Frank. Don't worry.
There'll be three kings show up at the house.
You're like theorizing the rest of her life. Like,
not the rest of her life, but I there's definitely got to be a humility that is and a gratefulness that is built into the wonderful amount of attention that people have already paid to her and all the amazing quilts that have been made for her and stuff. Aww. There's got to be a humility that's built into this reception so that you know, she grows up thinking I gotta earn this. You know?
Well, and she'll be humble.
It'll be great.
I'm excited. Can't wait. Okay. Last night, late at night, I was about to say that I fell asleep for once, very early, had a little argument with the children or child. So it was emotionally and spiritually draining to go through the same conversation over and over and over again. But we did, and we got to a resolution. And then I was exhausted. So I got into bed to read for a story that I'm doing. Yes, I'm doing a very big story. I'm reading about it now. And I fell asleep with the phone in my hand on my chest. So my phone didn't charge, and I didn't see this. The Joseph Myth said 302.
Oh, I heard about this coming out. Is there anything in there that's like stuff that we don't know?
No. And you want to know something? I am reading this, and I'm like, this poor guy. This poor, poor guy. Joseph Myth said.
Biffs it. Okay.
That's my initial reaction. Now, could I be wrong? Yes. However, I'm reading it and I'm like, what the? This poor guy has been maligned and he's got to hide. He could be dead for anybody. Like, nobody's seen him. I don't know what he, listen, everybody positions Mifsud as this very, very serious spy or intelligence asset. Okay, great. The 302, though, taken on February 28th, 2017, right around the time that they're interviewing Steele dossier source Danchenko or whatever. Mifsud, he says he meets Papadopoulos, he has coffee with them. He doesn't remember even saying anything to him about Hillary Clinton's emails at all. Nothing. Then it's basically vanilla. It's completely vanilla.
So what does that mean?
I mean,
what would that mean about the whole Papadopoulos story there then?
Well,
he didn't say anything to Papadopoulos about. So then
I'm sure Papadopoulos will say he's lying. Mm-hmm. Right. Which is fine. He was there. I wasn't, you know.
See, but, this is what I say. It doesn't. It just who's on what side? How is everybody being used in this situation? Who has what at stake? It does it ever really matter? Does any of this seem like it's legitimate?
Well, let me keep going before I answer that question.
Okay.
The Mueller report goes. It says this. The Mueller report, which. Make sure everybody goes to Uncover DC because I released an article from Shipwrecked Crew yesterday that talks about Kevin Kleinsmith's relationship to Andrew Weissman on the special counsel and a very interesting disclaimer that the special counsel put in about Kleinsmith in their report, basically saying he didn't work for us. Very interesting. So with that being said, the Mueller report says during that interview, Mifsud admitting to knowing Papadopoulos and to having introduced him to Polonskaya and Timofeev. But Mifsud denied that he had advanced knowledge that Russia was in possession of emails damaging to Clinton, stating he and Papadopoulos had discussed cybersecurity and hacking as a larger issue and that Papadopoulos must have misunderstood their conversation. Mifsud also falsely stated that he had not seen Papadopoulos since the meeting at which Mifsud introduced him to Polonskaya, even though emails, text messages, and other information show that Mifsud met with Papadopoulos on two other occasions. In addition, Mifsud omitted that he had drafted or edited the follow-up message that Polonskaya sent to Papadopoulos following the initial meeting, and that as reflected in the language of the email chain, baby, thank you, Mifsud may have been involved in a personal relationship with her at the time. Now, Jim, this is from Fool Nelson on Twitter, Fool_Nelson. Jim Jordan asked Robert Mueller why he didn't charge Joseph Mifsud for lying. And this is the answer. Oh, it's 5 minutes long. I can't play it. Can I?
Well, didn't he just get a response like he got one of those stupid non-responses for that question, right?
Let's see.
Director, the FBI interviewed Joseph Mifsud on February 10th, 2017. In that interview, Mr. Mifsud lied. You point this out on page 193, volume 1. Mifsud denied. Mifsud also falsely stated. In addition, Mifsud omitted. Three times he lied to the FBI, yet you didn't charge him with the crime.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, did you say 193?
Volume 1, 193. He lied three times, you pointed out in the report. Why didn't you charge him with the crime?
I can't get into internal deliberations with regard who would or would not be.
Charge a lot of other people for making a false statement. Let's remember this. In 2016, the FBI did something they probably haven't done before. They spied on two American citizens associated with
it. I know.
With Carter Page, they went to the FISA court. They used the better part of a year.
Hold on.
This is Downer, Mifsud, Thompson, meeting in Rome, London, all kinds of places. The FBI even sent a lady posing as somebody else.
Azra Turk.
Went by the name Azra Turk. Even dispatched her to London to spy on Mr. Papadopoulos. In one of these meetings, Mr. Papadopoulos is talking to a foreign diplomat, and he tells the diplomat, Russians have dirt on Clinton. That diplomat then contacts the FBI, and the FBI opens an investigation based on that fact. You point this out on page 1 of the report. July 31st, 2016, they open the investigation based on that piece of information. Diplomat tells Papadopoulos, Russians have dirt. Excuse me. Papadopoulos tells a diplomat Russians have dirt on Clinton. Diplomat tells the FBI. What I'm wondering is, who told Papadopoulos? How'd he find out?
I can't get into the evidence.
And that's basically it. He can't get into it. He can't get into it. I can't get into it. Yeah.
That's what I remember. All the best kind of answers that we got from people who are supposed to be able to get into it. When all said and done, weren't we supposed to have answers? What was the point of investigating something if you literally cannot tell anybody what you found afterwards?
It's not in his purview, Frank. It is not in his purview.
It's not in my purview to figure this out.
He never mentioned the dossier or Christopher Steele in the Mueller report either. So what a coincidence. What a shock. As Paul Joseph Watson says, imagine my shock. So then they also released an email from Joseph Mifsud to the FBI after the interview where he says, I went back through all of my stuff and I reaffirm everything that I told you in that interview. And basically, they didn't really talk to him at all about anything. He said, I didn't tell him that. And Papadopoulos said, he told me this. I don't know what's going on at this point. I'm very confused, Frank.
No, I'm with you. Level of confusion.
And Mifsud's not around to ask him, so.
Now, that's the other thing. He would go missing for months at a time. There were several times that he was rumored to be dead. Is he still missing right now?
As of the last thing, I think that there was a recording released of him, remember? Hold on.
I don't remember.
Yes. Mifsud leaked tapes. Leaked Russiagate spy tape is a fake, says his lawyer.
Interesting.
Recording published in Italian newspaper of Joseph Mifsud denying he is a spy is not him, says the lawyer. The man in recording... Stephen Rowe, the Swiss lawyer acting for Mifsud, told the Times of London it was a malicious hoax. He said, we do not think it's him. The tapes seem to be fabricated. Rowe even suggested that his client might be being held against his will by unknown people. We are very concerned about his well-being. If or not the tapes are real, the procedure of anonymous messaging does remind me of kidnappings in Italy 30 years ago. Very interesting. Oh, George Papadopoulos, please.
I know. Yeah, what does he get to do? What do you want to hear come out of what do you want to hear come out of George Papadopoulos, if anything, these days? Is there anything that these people that have been subject of public conversation for so many years now? Is there anything new that they can say or clarify that you would really, really love to hear right now?
Gosh, that's a big question. That's a big one. I have to think about that.
Yeah.
I would want to know. I don't know what I'd want to know. I think I'd want to know if George Papadopoulos was ever working with any of the three-letter agencies as a source.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Boy, oh, boy. So much. We always do so much in 1 hour.
Yeah, we do. And there's one thing that I wanted to play for everybody because, you know, Biden is forced to come out of his hole now. You know, he's got to do interviews and stuff like that. And he was doing an interview yesterday and it's very, very clear that he's getting the questions beforehand and they're teleprompting his responses. This is a scripted interview because he's asked a question about Venezuela and he reads Venezuela top line messages, which means it's a title. It's a title to the next subsection of what he's supposed to talk about. So he knows, like when you read a teleprompter, it'll tell you what your messaging points are. You're not supposed to read that. You're supposed to just acknowledge it's there and continue on with your script, right? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
So there are things when you read the teleprompter that are just cues to you that you're not supposed to say out loud. But here,
and he's reading all the liner notes.
Yes, and so here he is. Listen.
President doing? What's the president doing? Look, Venezuela's top line message is President Trump's policy is an abject failure.
What's the president? Wait, top line messages? He read it.
Yeah, let's play it again. Hold on.
Look, what's the president doing? Look, Venezuela's top line message is President Trump's policy is an abject failure. What's the president doing? Look, Venezuela's top line message is President Trump's policy.
Is this part of his Pittsburgh address?
No, this was a local interview on NBC.
Man, that Pittsburgh thing. I was watching it yesterday. Well, 2 days ago is when we got that amazing coronavirus, 100 deaths, 100 years.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
The rambling nonsense. But then to see the production behind it, that he's supposedly going out to hit the campaign trail because, of course, he's dropping in the polls and everybody is finally starting to put together that the Democrats are the ones who have been hoping for this kind of violence for a long time and that it would sustain and that it would sustain them. But now it's coming back to bite him in the ass. And now he's the campaigner. He's on the campaign trail stumping along. And meanwhile, he's in an empty warehouse in Pittsburgh surrounded by five or six other reporters. And outside of the place, there's about 2.5 dozen people in masks, clapping weekly for whatever he's doing on the inside. I'm asking myself, why the hell did he even leave Delaware? Why are you leaving Delaware? What is the point of you just being in Pittsburgh in an empty warehouse? You can do – the people who are going to support this man are going to rationalize the things that he's doing anyway to vote for him. He could be in Delaware making customized videos for every state and city that he wants to go to or would have liked to go to if he was of sound mind, and he could just set it on out there. And the media will just say, wow. Wow, Joe Biden is reinventing what it means to campaign. He's reinventing campaigning during these trying times. I don't know why he even left the house and created this kind of imagery for people to pick apart. It's so pathetic.
September 29th is supposed to be debates.
Supposed to be. We'll see.
Gosh.
He's got a couple of weeks to come down with coronavirus. Yep.
Crazy, crazy times. I don't have any words. God help me. I've never been speechless before in my life. You can ask my family. Well, that's it for today, Frank. You have been listening to the Dark Delay Podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Bean. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. I hope we add a few more platforms because it's getting ridiculous, and I'd love to make it more ridiculous at the end of the show.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see you on Friday.
Bye-bye, everybody. Later.
This is an MJ Morning Show podcast quick fix on Radio Influence.
I got to be honest, it's worse going to the dentist and getting a tooth drilled than getting a colonoscopy. The biggest pain in the ass, no pun intended, was when I did it like 7 years ago, I had to drink like a gallon of liquid with Miralax or whatever that's to clean yourself. That was the worst part, was having to drink that much of that crappy tasting liquid. But the second time around, they've improved it. And I can't remember the name, but just last year, there were two little bottles, maybe like 8 ounces. And it's like called ClinPeak, ClinPack, and you just drink it right out of the bottle. And it might have been a total of maybe 16, 20 ounces. It was like nothing. You drink the first bottle, and that really cleans you out. And then you have you do a second bottle just in case it missed something. So the prep was really easy. And then you show up, you lie down, they give you anesthesia. I think it was like milk of amnesia, the stuff that Michael Jackson got. You know, they killed him, but that was obviously, you know, this I'm talking about propofol. And I had propofol. When, remember I put the palm frond through my hand? I also had propofol for that when Dr. Jeff Stone from FOI, when he did my hand surgery some years ago. Propofol is really safe. You just can't be administering it in your bedroom
nightly,
like Michael Jackson to go to sleep. I mean, that's ridiculous. They give you the anesthesia, you're knocked out, and you don't remember a damn thing. You wake up an hour or 2 hours later, and it's like nothing ever happened. Don't be afraid. Go get a colonoscopy. And especially with Chadwick Boseman, with him dying like this, please don't put this stuff on hold. Get it done, and hopefully it's crystal clear, it's beautiful, it's clean, and you don't have to go back for years. But you look at a star at 43 years old with this guy having the world ahead of him. What a shame.
The MJ Morning Show podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, MJMorningShow.com, and RadioInfluence.com.